Since January, we've been reporting on bonfire material being left in East Belfast. Pallets and toxic tires were dumped at a controversial bonfire site beside the 40 million Conswater Community Greenway project. Collectors even had a message for me when we started discussing this. What was it? F. Stephen Nolan was placed over the pallets, and a picture of them was posted online. At the time, I said it would be good to speak to some of the people who built the bonfire. Now, a group representing them has taken up that offer. Robert Osborne from Bloomfield Community Support Group is here with me this morning, as is the Loyalist blogger. He's many other things. Jamie Bryson, good morning to you, Mr. Bryson.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. And Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
So let's just get this clear then, Robert, who you are. So who are you? What's your connection to these bonfire collectors?
Well, my name's Robert. I was a collector with him for a couple of years, so it was. I've seen the dedication most of the kids put into what they do. You know, they do put their heart and soul into what they're doing. And they believe that what they're doing, their culture, it's what's driving them.
So you would have gone out and collected this wood until recently?
Definitely. Right up until I was the age of 27, I'd have been out in the mornings at 8 o'clock and I'd have been lifting my pallets.
8 o'clock in the morning?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Lifting pallets?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than out working?
With some of the young kids. I was working too.
So let me get this right. You would have got up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I'm not up at 8 o'clock in the morning. This show starts at 9.
Let me tell you, some of those kids were out before that. Some of the kids got up eager and keen because they knew that they were basically battling against other bonfires to try and make theirs better.
In January and February?
Well, not so much January and February. Maybe April time, you know.
Well, that's what they've done this year. They've started early this year.
Don't get me wrong. There's a few of them would even start before December, you know, of the year before. Some of them do it. There's a lot of the kids that know exactly what is coming, and they're so excited. They get so bubbly when it comes to the time of collecting, and they're so eager to get out.
I don't get it.
I don't understand why you don't get it, because it comes from... You were raised in East Belfast, you know?
Well, I was...
Did you ever collect for a bonfire?
Who's doing the interviewing here?
Well, at the same time, but these kids, they go out and they do that. You know, it's what they've done from young age, and they keep going until they have other things to do. I mean, myself, I have two kids, so it's time for me to stop. You know, I stopped maybe 2 years ago.
And so where do you get the pallets from, for example?
They get donated most of the time, or we go around collecting them. There's lots of places that donate to us.
And is there no pride in your own area when you're dumping this wood?
There is pride. We take pride in everything we do. We try to keep it clean. But there are certain individuals that mess it up. You know what I mean? I can't talk for those individuals, but I can tell you now that most of the kids do try to keep it clean, and they try to, because it's what they work hard for. They don't want to see everything destroyed.
Because does a bonfire not look like a dump in the middle of a patch of land?
Not necessarily. It can do.
If we think of this Greenway project, that's why we're talking about this today.
Yeah.
So there was a multi-million pound project. Beautiful. In the heart of East Belfast.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. And piles of tires and bonfire wood. Now, the announcement yesterday that it's going to be moved.
This is why our community has come together, and the youth have come together. And we've come to the decision that in order to keep East Belfast progressing and flourishing, and with all that money put into the park, we can't see it go to waste. The youth know that they can always go to a different bonfire. We've got ones within a couple of metres of each other, basically. It's near enough a stone throw away, most of them. I can't talk for every other bonfire, but because of what's going on in that park and the amount of money spent, our community's happy enough to step away from a bonfire.
And so who organised that? Well, who organised the meeting? How did it happen?
It was a lot of the community were talking about it, and a lot of the youth. Believe it or not, there was a lot of the youth that didn't even want to collect. So they didn't. Just a lot of the younger ones have it in them to go out and start collecting.
You see, there's some of that I don't believe for this reason, okay? Mm. You know, you say some of the youth go out collecting and you paint this picture. Maybe you want to come in this, Jimmy. You paint this picture of, you know, these boys, right? Yeah. They've nothing to do and they're out collecting. Then I see hundreds of tires. Mm. Boys couldn't carry those tires.
We're not really here to discuss the materials that are going on it, are we? I can't speak for why they collect tires or anything like that.
Yeah, but it's not kids. It's not young boys.
No, they're, believe it or not,
lifting tires. Like, well, they couldn't physically lift tires.
Well, look, you know, I think it's a positive news story today. I think what Robert and the group in Bloomfield have done is that they've shown positive leadership. They've come to a good local voluntary agreement. And, you know, we could get into talking about what materials are on bonfires all day long. You know, we'll talk about tires and then we could move on to wood and then we could move on to something else. I don't think that's the focus of today's story. I think the focus of today's story should be the positive work that has been done by this new group. It's extremely positive that they have now set themselves up as a community group, so they can advocate on behalf of the bonfire builders. They can put somebody forward like today. I think Robert's articulated his case very well. So I think, you know, this is a positive news story, and I don't think we should allow that to be taken into different territory.
Well, really, you want to drive the interview now?
Well, I think it's a positive news story. So if you want to divert it in the other angles, you can.
Well,
I think it needs to be
talk
put
about,
under that court.
Listen, of course it's a positive story, and we will talk about that in a second. But part of the story is getting into the mindset of young people of how they don't, because they do understand. They're not stupid, right? So part of this story is, first of all, established, and it is a positive story, and we will talk about that in a second. But I want to get inside the mind of some of these young people as to why they feel burning tires and therefore punching pollutants into their own mums and dads, into their own brothers and sisters, is acceptable to them.
Well, look, the way bonfires are demonised quite often, I think a lot of the young people resent that, and as a result, they rebel against that. I think what we need is people like Robert to step forward, who have a good rapport with the young people, and to speak for them, to give them an avenue to advocate on their own behalf, because quite often it's people, the same faces on discussing. You know, I'm quite on often discussing bonfires and whatever else, but each bonfire needs to have an avenue for the young people, somebody they know, to speak on their behalf. And I think that's what the group at Bloomfield have done very well. They've identified somebody, Robert, who has a good rapport with the young people, and he is now advocating on their behalf rather than the same old faces being on speaking for them.
Help me with that mindset and then we will get on to what happened, but why don't some of the young people care about punching those pollutants from tyres and other things into their own community?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think most of them think about it. I mean, they are only children. Don't get me wrong, I give them all the mentoring I can. I mean, I've always mentored when I can, because I know how hard it is to grow up in the streets. You know, there is no activities to do. People say about activities here and there, you know. The kids need something that they love.
Is there not a big leisure centre beside
mm-hmm.
that side?
Yeah.
And can the kids not go in there? And
well, they probably could, but at the end of the day, you know, it's what they were raised to do. That's mm-hmm. why whenever we came together for discussions with them, they were happy enough to step away from the bonfire, because we're giving them something else to do.
So tell me how that happened then. So there was the whole hullabaloo on this show and other shows about, you know, calling these young people louts and mm-hmm. so goes on. Why didn't they care about their own community?
But they do care. That's why they've stepped away from the bonfire now. That's, we get into dialogue and talks with them, and we were
how
able
to, old are they?
Honestly, ranging from my age downward till about 7, 6, you know, it can vary. Every bonfire is different, but
But these people you were talking to, how old were they?
You have, as I say, it ranges from, you've 25 downwards. You know, it's not a collective. You can't just go, can I speak to the older ones, because the young ones don't count. That's not the way it works. You know what I mean? A bonfire is like a family. It's like a heart and soul goes into it. And whenever they realised that there was so much money put in to making their community look better, they obviously seen the outcome is going to be better for future developments and what might come for them.
And is that how you explained it to them?
In different words, yes, but I broke it down for them, yeah, and I explained to them what we could do for them.
And what is it that you're doing? How did you convince them?
How did I convince them? Well, we're going to change their lives, basically. We're going to take them away from running about the streets, try and give them better outcomes. The kids out there nowadays have a lot of potential, and they don't seem to get it, the education system and everything else, but we'll not get into that.
But I'm trying to understand how you got through to them, why they didn't turn around and tell you where to go and say, clear off, it's our bonfire.
Because
we're,
I collected
we're proud
with them.
Of it.
I'm friends with most of them. I can talk to them on a near enough a brotherly level.
And what did you say to them? about why the bonfire should go?
Because their own community is progressing, and they felt that with the park being there, they could go to other bonfires. You know, there was no real discussion about this is our bonfire, we want this, we want that. They're happy enough, we're still going to have the fun day and all for them on the 11th. We're still going to have a wee beacon for them. Do you know what I mean? The kids
understand. What's the fun day? What's that?
Bounty castles, barbecues, you know, bits for the kids. You name it, we'll try and get everything going.
And where are you getting the money for that?
Well, we're sourcing funding from all over.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We're going to try everything. My heart and soul's in this, and I believe...
Why, Robert?
Why? Because I know how hard it is to have no support when you're young.
How hard is it?
Very hard. You know, people grow up in the streets, they have nothing to do. Where are we going tonight? What are we doing tonight? You know, there is nothing really. I mean, you say about leisure centres and all, but you're not going to take a group of 15 people swimming for an hour and that's be it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kids need more than that. Kids need something that keeps them going. You wouldn't believe how much trouble it keeps them out of being at the bonfires. These kids that aren't committing crimes or maybe leading themselves into drugs and all.
I want just to hear a wee bit more from you about how hard it is growing up in a...
Well, growing up...
I guess in a working class estate where you're saying there's nothing for kids to do.
Yeah.
But has there ever been anything for kids to do?
Not really, but that's the whole problem. We need more because if you think about it, the kids are the next generation. We are getting old. The kids are the future. So if we can't make their lives better now, half of them are going to turn out like half of the Belfast has turned out at the moment.
And do you think there's a danger that, I guess, programmes like this and people like me demonise those kids?
Sort of, yeah.
Like, how do they feel when
they feel victimised? They feel like they're being picked on for celebrating the culture that they've been raised into since they were kids. Do you know what I mean? These kids don't wake up and go, you know, we're gonna build a bonfire today. It's something that's been there for them from the start.
Well, Mike Nesbitt, who, you know, I think he's actually still the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party until he's replaced, he said burning tires isn't culture.
We're not really here to discuss that, nice people.
Well, look, you know, in regards to Mike Nesbitt, I think it's a perfect example. Mike Nesbitt is far removed from the grassroots people that would be collecting for the bonfire. And I think the interesting part of this story is the fact that Robert was somebody who has a good relationship with the young people and collected for the bonfire. Therefore, he was able to deliver this successful outcome because he had that relationship. People like Mike Nesbitt, who, you know, in my own personal view, didn't cover himself in glory throughout the election, coming on, making comments like that isn't going to do anybody any good. So, you know, I don't think anybody should pay any heed to what Mike Nesbitt says.
Here's Jerry in Lisburn. Put those headphones on. You'll be able to hear some of the callers this morning. Morning, Jerry.
Can you hear me?
I can't. Come off that dopey speakerphone.
I can't. I'm driving.
Oh, for goodness sake. Go ahead, Jerry.
I've been on the phone with Jamie Bryson before, and I never thought I'd say this, but Jamie, fair play to you. And fair play to that guy, Robert. And there's no point, Stephen, trying to dissect this and get into the minds of the young people. They've done a good thing. Congratulate them and move on. Thank you very much, Jamie, and thank you, Robert. You've done well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I don't ever like you getting complimented, Mr. Bryson. Would you? David in Warringstown. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. I have nothing against bonfires. In fact, I'm all for them. As a member of the Protestant community, as part of our heritage, even though some in the community will try and put us down for celebrating our culture. But what I certainly won't stand for is people burning tires and pollutants in a bonfire. It sends out a very bad signal to people not only in Northern Ireland but right around the world. Because of social media, everything can be seen in any part of the world. And the people that I will blame for tyres being burnt are tyre dealers and people who are paid a lot of money to dispose of heavy HGV tyres. They take the money from their customers, but a lot of people that I would know, and I'm not going to name, I'll save them up to a certain time of the year, and then they'll dump them at bonfires, and then if they're left there, they're going to end up being put in a bonfire. It's the same with household goods like sofas and all the materials. They're all dumped there. People are paid to take them away. They don't take them and dispose of them in the way that they're meant to. They're just chucked off of the bonfire.
Is there an exploitation there, Robert, that David was touching upon? I know you don't want to talk about tires today, but they're coming from somewhere. So do these businesses that are making profit, do they kind of try to exploit the kids by offloading them onto them?
I honestly can't make a comment on that because
I don't know.
Of
course you can, because you collected them.
Yeah, I collected them. You know what I mean? I collected
them. So you got them from somewhere.
But we didn't collect the tyres. Sometimes they do get dropped off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then kids do what kids do. They see materials to go on a bonfire and they throw them on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They don't, not necessarily thinking about pollution. You know what I mean? Kids at that age don't necessarily think about pollution.
Was it difficult persuading the kids?
No, it wasn't actually. Because they know that there's a better outcome.
And was this driven by you or by who? Like
some community itself, as
a whole. The community, was there talks or what happened?
Yeah, we had talks with the kids and then we had talks with local community members, like people from the community.
I think the key point here is, Stephen, that we see what can be achieved when somebody within the community goes and speaks to the young people. It doesn't work from people from outside, local areas, coming in and trying to dictate to them. So I think the important...
You mean the police, do you?
No, I don't mean the police. I mean anybody. I mean statutory agencies, anybody else, political parties, politicians. I believe that each bonfire will have their own local issues in local areas and there should be voluntary agreements between the local community and the people in those, yep. those areas
and
themselves.
Look, this is a good story. Today, congratulations,
I'm
well done, and it is a great achievement. But Jimmy, when you say that it doesn't work unless the local people agree to it, it can't be that they decide the rules of our society anywhere.
No. Well, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying
it is what you're saying.
Well, no, that's what you're trying to get me to
you're
say.
You're saying that outside statutory agencies can't come in and dictate. That's what happens elsewhere in life.
Well, you know, look. I was involved in the Port Into the Flags protest, which was carried out by Dr. Paul Nolan. And in that report, Paul Nolan said something very important. He said, it's never a good idea to criminalise culture. I think the best way to move forward positively is for voluntary local agreements to deal with issues relevant to each bonfire, because every bonfire is going to have different issues. You can't just have one blanket statutory scheme to catch all bonfires and basically legislate culture or criminalise it. So I think the way forward is voluntary local agreements, and that's the most positive outcome for everybody. You can't criminalise people's culture.
Who's going to lift in this stuff?
The council.
The council?
We have agreements with the council, yeah.
Okay. And are they dumping it, or is it being moved to another bonfire site, or where's the stuff going?
No, it's being removed and got rid of.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's not going to be another bonfire with that stuff?
No, we've made a conscious choice. We're happy enough. The wee fun day's enough for the kids, they don't mind. And we're still going to be lighting a beacon. But there's so much in that park that maybe doesn't need to be destroyed by drinking drugs on 11th night, because a lot of people do come to bonfires that aren't necessarily from those bonfires and give those bonfires a stigma.
So that's what your community is saying. We've got this, we want to protect it.
Yeah.
In terms of our park.
We want our community to flourish. We want our community to be better for the next generation of children, because at the end of the day, the children are our future. I can't remember who said that quote, but the children are our future. And they have so much potential.
You said you were nervous before you came in here this morning. you haven't come across as nervous for a start.
It's because what I'm talking about, I'm passionate about. Actually am talking from my heart, and I feel that what's happening is right.
I can see that. And so what I would say back to you is, I think it's quite astonishing what you've all achieved, actually. For a programme that criticises, we criticise quite a lot, don't we, by the very nature of this programme. So I think it's pretty amazing that you're in a situation now where you're saying it's not going to be any bonfire and we want to protect the resource around us, because that's always what I have been asking. I've been screaming about it. How come, you know, your own community and people in your own community don't want to protect your own park? Now you're saying, yeah, you do.
We do, of course we do.
Is it not going to be difficult to fill the void?
No, not really.
Of collecting the wood? So the kids over the next few months aren't collecting the wood. So what are they doing instead?
Stephen, we have only just started as a group ourselves, right? And what we have planned for the children, you have no idea. We have everything planned. We're going to make sure that they're not out on the streets.
Like what? What are they going to do with them?
We have activities within the community. We're going to maybe get a lot of funding. We'll take them away paintball and just different activities. And I can't give you things off the top of my head because it's sure. only started.
Yeah, so you're starting off. You're going
to
put this
together. But I have one word to say to everybody, as I will be there for them. And anybody can contact me at any time from my community because I want to be there to help. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm always there to help.
Is there much drugs in the community? Temptation for the kids?
No, definitely not.
No? So there's not that kind of temptation?
Definitely not. I mean, a lot of the kids...
Is there a lot of underage drinking?
No. I mean, you do get that.
Of course
I'm
you
not,
do.
Not one
yeah.
to say that that doesn't happen. But I know that ones from that bonfire particularly are sensible.
And is this your job? Like, are you paid to do this?
No, this is voluntary. This is me helping. This is me giving to my community. I have two kids. I want to see my kids have what's best for them.
So you're not getting any funding for you doing this, Robert?
Not me personally.
Yeah.
Not me personally.
So you're just
but
getting
I'm
up,
sure funding will come if they see the good-natured things we're doing yeah. within the area.
So you're getting up in the morning and you're deciding to do this voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it even more special then.
Stephen, let me just go back and make a point just on the drugs because I sort of get what you were getting at there. But drugs in relation to bonfires and whatever often get a stigma in relation to drugs and I have to say the loyalist community in general. But just to make the point, drugs is a problem for society in general. It's not a loyalist problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's a problem for society. So drugs shouldn't be stigmatized. I'm not saying this is what you were doing, but I'm just generally making the point that the drugs and whatever else should not be stigmatized onto bonfires or onto the loyalist communities because drugs is a problem for society as a whole, not any particular section of society. It affects all sections of society and it's something that we all need to work together to deal with. So it's not specific to bonfires or loyalism per se. And I'm not saying that's what you said, but just to make the point.
But what
general,
I'm trying to ask is, you know, are people trying to peddle drugs to these kids and are you trying to give them alternatives to being tempted into that? Do they need protected?
Well, there's always going to be someone trying to peddle something, isn't there?
But is it a big problem or is it not?
We want to take our children away from that. We want to give them a future. If they get that from an early age, well, it's only leading them down a bad path. If they have the proper mentoring and they have the proper way to go about things and they're taught how to go about things, then maybe they won't take that path. Maybe they won't choose that path to go down and maybe they will live better lives. That's all I can say.
0303 80 55 55 Bartley, Doug Patrick. Morning, Bartley.
Hi, Dean, Stephen. Culture and heritage has been a big word that Jamie and Ezra are going about there. Culture and heritage for me would be like some myths and legends, St. Patrick's Day, you know, different things, ice dancing, ice music. What, all I'm hearing of this bonfire is about, you know, culture and heritage. Burning effigies, burning tires on the 12th of July. Surely God, boys, you've something better in your culture than burning bonfires. Your bonfires are totally and utterly 100%, let's be clear with this, are illegal. You cannot burn toxic waste. You cannot bring waste. Once you bring waste to an area, it's illegal bringing it there. It's illegal storing it there. Everything about a bonfire is totally illegal. So at what point does the law, do we stop adhering to the law? Ask that to Jamie.
Well, look, you've just come on there and you've given a list of basically, I assume, what your culture is, and then you've just went on to completely denigrate the unionist culture.
Jamie,
so
I'm definitely not denigrating your culture. I think...
Oh, well, that's often, that's what it sounded awfully like.
I can be in the 12th of July, many people are in our area, and I was around and watch the parades. Mm-hmm. I bring my grandkids down to listen to music and your music and stuff, and I think it's good. I'm not saying that whatsoever, but I'm saying what I seem to be culture is myths and legends. Irish music, I'm from the Catholic end of it, as you know, but that's what I believe a heritage and a culture is. I don't see a picture of a bonfire with flags on it and the tricolours with other effigies and statues stolen out of Catholic churches. I don't think that's a good culture or heritage.
Let Jamie reply to you.
Yeah.
I think you're above all that there. I think your community's far better than that, and I think yous are far better. I think you're demonising your own community by saying this is your culture and heritage. I think if you clear your bonfires down to pallets and do them in designated sites...
Right, let's let him reply to you.
Well, that was quite a speech. Look, you've come on there and you've basically, you have denigrated the unionist culture and the culture of bonfires, because obviously you don't agree with it, which is fine, that's absolutely your right. But bonfires are something that has been going on for a long, long time. It is an important celebration within the unionist community, and it's one that we want to maintain. Obviously, many within the unionist community, we want to see it done in the most positive way, where we can attract the widest range of support possible, and I think everybody will work towards that. But the importance is that we trust people like Robert and people in the local communities to deal with these issues, to talk to the people involved in building the bonfires and come to a local agreement in each area whereby the bonfire can be celebrated, it can be done positively, and it can have support from
but
the community.
Do you not think, Jimmy, nowadays, in this where we are now, the beacons are the way forward?
No, I don't, because I think what beacons are is it's a statutory scheme, and it's called a nudge approach, whereby you slowly move people down a path. It starts with a beacon, and then the beacon gets smaller, and before you know it, there's no bonfire at all. It's the same approach
that
I suppose.
Well,
if you would just let me speak, it's the same approach I suppose that was used with the Plaids Commission, whereby first of all you bring in regulation, and then you start stopping one plaid, and then the next, and it only ends one way. So, I personally don't believe that's the way forward.
It's okay to have illegal bonfires all over the country, burn toxic waste.
It's in relation to environmental legislation. It's not technically a breach of criminal law, so I think you would need to go back and have a look at that.
Yes, but you can't. Once you take the controlled waste to a certain site, or you store the site, you're breaking the law.
It's environmental legislation. It's not criminal law.
Once you ignite it, then it becomes a bigger problem. But what, Jimmy, last year, some of the bonfire builders turned around and said, when houses near your built the second road, well, they shouldn't have built a house near the bonfire site. Like, come on.
Well, look. You're taking.
That young lad was on before you.
Yeah.
Said a lot of good things, but you're better than this. Bonfires of you.
Well, look.
The way forward. Your community's a great community. You've lots of great things to celebrate. But surely to God, it's time to lift your heads now and get and turn around and get away from them. That's silly.
If you could just take a deep breath and be quiet a wee second. You're talking very fast. I think what you've just done there is you've said that what Robert said was very good and he's very intelligent, and then you just went on to say but and criticised basically the culture and what he's trying to do.
Hold on, Bartley, let's let him finish.
What he's trying to do positively. So look, I don't think it's good to demonise the culture or demonise one section of the community. I think bonfires are an important part of unionist culture. They should be celebrated in the most positive way possible, and I think that's what all communities need to work towards.
Bartley, thank you. There are some people asking us on Twitter today, so let's ask you, has the council given you money in order to agree to take away this bonfire?
No,
has there been a quid pro quo? We will fund your funding, we will fund all types of activities throughout the year.
This has
in
came
return.
From us. This has came from us as a community. We were the ones who approached the council. We were the ones that we have came to them and says that we're willing to let it go. We're willing to move forward.
Okay. Thank you for coming in, Robert.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Nice to meet you, Jimmy. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.